Hello, Agape Church and friends. Welcome into the Building Up Podcast, episode number 141. We have just begun a new, I'm calling it a preaching and prayer series at Agape Church in the November of 2023, and we're going to be going through this series for the next few months. It's called Praying the Psalms. We've talked a little bit about this and pointed toward it in some of our previous podcast episodes, but we're going to be, over the next 3 months, looking at one psalm every week during our corporate gathering as a body of believers, and we've got some goals. We're going to go through the psalm, preach through the psalm, and one of our goals is we want to learn more about the Lord. We want to grow in our knowledge of Him and understanding and wisdom of God through His Word, through these written psalms that have been preserved for us. We also want to pray these psalms together. The Psalms are this incredible work of literature that God, again, has given to us, and they are a wonderful prayer guide, a wonderful praise guide. Many of these psalms were originally songs sung to God. They were prayers prayed to God, and so now we have them that we can see, and we can pray them together. I think they're just a wonderful way in which we can use them to guide our own prayers, to help give us self-control in our prayers, to help give us a sober-mindedness in our prayers, to kind of focus our hearts on what we should pray for. And so we want to practice that together as a church on the Lord's Day as we study the psalm, and then we want to pray it together. And then we hope all of this really leads to where our church is developing these habits of praying the scriptures. That becomes something that the church, that each of us individually, but even when we get together as small groups, that we're doing together, putting it into practice. And obviously any of God's word can be used to stir and guide our prayers. But again, I think the Psalms are a wonderful starting place for that. I think going through those on a daily or weekly basis and letting them stir your prayers, I think you could do that over and over and over again and find really new direction and a new stirring to your prayer life every time you did it. And so I really hope that this series that we're doing, where the church comes together, we study a psalm, we pray it together, I really hope that sparks something in us as a church to put that into practice every day. Now, if you are listening to this at a later time, or you don't attend Agape, even just talking about it on the podcast, I hope that stirs you to think about this a little bit more, look at the Psalms yourself and study them and meditate on them and use them to guide your prayers. And so I don't know if I'll do this for the entire series or not, but at least for this week and maybe the beginning of this series, I want to use the podcast as kind of a recap of the psalm that we studied and some of what we learned from it. Just spend a little time praying through it together on the podcast. And so the first psalm that we looked at is Psalm 8. Psalm 8. And I'm going to hit some of the highlights of what we saw. If you have a Bible or a Bible app, I would encourage you to maybe pause the podcast for just a moment and go read Psalm 8. I believe there's 9 verses. And so if you will read that and then come back, and I'm going to kind of walk us through for a moment some of what I think are the big points or highlights, at least of what we looked at corporately together as we looked at Psalm 8. One of the big points that we saw is that how God's glory is everywhere. The psalmist says, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. So we talked about how God's glory is throughout his creation, above his creation that everyone can see, but his glory is throughout everything that he has created. His name is majestic in all of the earth, even in the parts of creation that the eyes of humans have never seen or do not see very often. Glory is, as one theologian put it, the glory of God is his beauty. It's the beauty of his character that comes from God. It is all of his attributes working together. It is the character of God. You know, we can think of the glory of the sun. that we see in the sky. The glory of the sun is its light, its warmth, the sun that causes things on the earth to grow. It gives light to mankind. It warms the earth. There's a brilliance to it, the beauty of a setting sun or a rising sun in the sky, the glory of the sun that all of us enjoy. I'm not going to use the word character, but the brilliance, what comes from the sun, that's the glory of that heavenly body. And so the glory of God is the character of God. It's all that God is and all that God does. It is all of God's attributes. It is all of God's works. It is His glory, His brilliance, His beauty. And it is throughout the earth. We mentioned in the sermon that even some of the far-off places of creation, I mentioned what's called the Challenger Deep, the deepest place, at least that we're aware of on earth, that only about 24 people in the history of humanity have ever laid their eyes on for just a small amount of time. But yet God's glory, His beauty is in that place, whether we are there to see it or not. His glory is throughout the earth. And what I think is so important for us to understand, and what the psalmist talks about, is how godly people need to stop and ponder the glory of God, His brilliance, His beauty, His attributes, His works. We need to ponder those things and think about who God is, and what God does, His works throughout history. And that's, the Bible points us to those things and helps us to understand them. I believe I was reading this week another psalm. I believe it was Psalm 111. Yes. The psalmist says, "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them." So we see an attribute of godly people is that they study the works of the Lord. They delight in what God does in the works of His hands. And that's what the psalmist in Psalm 8 says. "When I look at your heavens and the work of your fingers and the moon and the stars which you have set in place, I'm humbled." He expresses it this way: "What is a man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" He is humbled. And so we talked about that in the psalm, is that godly people humble themselves before the Lord, that the more that we think about God and His majesty, His glory, His brilliance, His character, His works, the more that we think about those things, the more humbled we are. As God is exalted in our minds and we realize how great He is, how big He is, then godly people, we are humbled by that. Because we realize that God is mindful of us and He cares for us. And our attitude becomes, "God, who am I in this great, big, vast universe that You have created and all the things that You have done? Who am I? Because, God, You are mindful of me and You care for me." And that is a theological truth that is so important for all of us, that God is mindful of His people. We occupy a part of God's mind, or we occupy God's mind. I don't know even exactly the right words to put there, but God thinks about us. He is mindful of us. We are on His mind, not as the most important thing in all of the universe, but as His creatures made in His image that He loves, that He cares for. He is mindful of us. He cares for us. He takes care of all of the earth. The Bible tells us that He causes His sun to rise on the godly and the ungodly. He causes His rain to fall upon, to nourish the land of the righteous and the unrighteous. God, His grace is throughout the earth. He cares for everyone, but especially His people, those that He has called to Himself, those who have answered that call in faith, those that He has saved. He is mindful of you. He cares about your life. God is great and greatly to be praised, and you and I are lowly But God sees us and he cares for us. He takes care of us, but he also is concerned for our lives. And godly people are humbled by that. One of the things I mentioned in the sermon is that I think to truly understand that God's glory is everywhere, that he is so big and majestic, and we are so small, yet he is mindful of us and he cares for us. That should lead us to a place to where we are constantly looking toward God. I think we live in a time, in a world, and even among the church where people just take God's care for them for granted. You know, it's really easy to just have this kind of thought process of God's there when I need him. You know, I remember going through a personal tragedy when I was in my early 20s, and I had a neighbor who I do not believe was a Christian, and I wasn't walking with the Lord back then either. But I was going through this personal tragedy, and I remember that my neighbor was trying to console me, and he meant it in a really, I think, a very sincere way. But he said, "I want you to know I've been praying for you," and he said, "I don't pray very often. I save my prayers for very important things." And I think sometimes we have that attitude, non-believers, but I think sometimes even in the church, it's that God is there and I can go to him when I need him, but I don't need him every day. I don't need him every week. I don't need him every year. And I think when we can do what the psalmist did, like in Psalm 8, and we can understand God's glory and how majestic he is in all the earth, and yet he cares for us. It should put our mindset of, God, who am I that you think about me and care for me? God, I'm not going to run from you. I'm not going to just come to you when I need something. God, I want to be with you every day. If you're mindful of me and you're concerned about my life, I want to be near you every day, every moment. That's how the godly think. That's how the mature think. I need you. And that's really where the psalmist goes with this. He has this very... It's a very interesting verse, but he says, out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to steal the enemy and the avenger. And what we talked about during the sermon is that when you think about babies and infants, what's the strength of their life? What do they have going for them? Because they're pretty helpless. They can't take care of themselves. They can't really communicate their needs and their wants. But the babies have this strength. They have an instinct that they cry out in the midst of their needs and they receive help and they express thanksgiving for the help that they receive. They just instinctively know to do that, to cry out to the one that they depend on, and that person meets their needs, and then they show them, they express to them in some way, form or fashion, gratitude and thanksgiving. And I think that is what this scripture is pointing us to, that the strength of God's people is not that they take care of their own needs, not that they learn to grow and mature so that they don't need God. The strength of God's people is they instinctively cry out to him. The strength of God's people is that they recognize how big God is in the universe and how small they are, but yet they know that God is mindful of them and he cares for them. And so their instinct is not just to come to God when they need something big, but their instinct is, I want to be near you every day, every moment. And I want to look to you to meet my needs. I'm dependent upon you, God. You have made this universe. You know how it works. There is trouble in this world, but you've overcome it all. I need you. And the instinct of God's people is to grow in that. That, you know, we think of it as human beings that a sign of maturity is you become more and more independent, right? That's how we know our kids are growing up. They're becoming more and more independent. But in the Christian kingdom, right, in the kingdom of Jesus, in the kingdom of God, it is a sign of maturity that you're becoming more and more dependent. You are learning more and more how much you depend upon God, and your instinct is to cry out to him. That is the strength of a Christ follower. that they cry out of their mouths come prayer and praise. They pray to God for their needs. God answers them. They thank God. They praise God. They do those things together, as one of our church members pointed out to me this week, because I was putting, you know, prayer and praise together. And I said, I want you to think about these things as being interlocked. And they pointed out to me that, you know, praise is a prayer. When we praise God and we lift up our praise to Him, that it is, when He is the intended recipient of that, it is a form of praying. And so we pray and praise God the way an infant uses its strength and the strength of its life, that infant, he or she crying out to the one they're dependent upon and receiving help. And that is the strength of God's people, is that we cry out to the Lord. And so the title of our sermon for Psalm 8 was Unashamed, that we need to learn as believers to be bold and unashamed to pray and to praise God, just like a child. A child has not yet learned to care what other people think of them. They will run to their mom or their dad, to their caregiver in an unashamed and bold way. They will express affection for them in public places and private places. They are bold to do that. They are sincere in their hearts. And as God's people, that's what we must learn. We must learn to praise God, to express our dependence upon Him and our thanksgiving publicly and privately. We should do it in the assembly of the believers when we come together as a church, and we should do it in the marketplace, in the business world. We should be ready. Someone asks us, well, how did you get through this situation? Or how are you dealing with this stress? Or, you know, we need to be ready to say, well, I'm depending upon God. Or when our prayers are answered and someone looks to us and says, well, how did you get through that? Or, where are these blessings coming from? That we're ready to praise God, to share with them all that God has done for us. In the midst of our trials, when they want to ask, well, how are you so joyful when there's so much trouble in the world, there's so much fear in the world, when you've gone through this hard thing, we need to be ready to be bold, to share about our prayers and our praises for God. One of the things that we talked about on Sunday at our church was how, you know, people express their praise in different ways. And the goal is to be sincere. If you are a person who God has designed, like, your sincere form of praise is to bow down, you know, to quietly put your face on the ground or against a wall and just pray and praise God, and that's your true and sincere worship, then do that. But if your true and sincere worship is to shout and clap and to be very expressive in your praise, then do that. So many times as churches, what happens is we tend to kind of group ourselves with people who pray and praise the same way that we do. So you'll have churches that are kind of quiet and they've got a lot of people in them that they're very reverent and very quiet with their sincere worship. And then you got some churches that are more exuberant and expressive. And our aim at Agape is to be both. Like, we just want sincere worship. And we want a church that makes room for whatever that sincere worship is. We want people who express their worship in quiet, reverent, worshipful ways. And I'm not talking about just being silent on purpose, but I'm talking about bowing down, kneeling, face to the ground at some times, but just reverent, maybe standing and holding their hands up and looking up to the sky, reverent, praying, thoughtful in their worship. And then we want people who are expressive because that's their sincere worship. They're thoughtful in their worship too, but their thoughtfulness is to clap and shout and to raise a joyful noise to the Lord. And we want to be a church that makes room for both, that the strength of our church is sincere worship. And so we have people that are that lead out in quiet and reverent meditation and bowing down, and people who lead out in exuberant praise. And we want to be a church that has both, and people that make room for one another's expression of sincere worship. So that's our goal, and that's our prayer as a church, that we would express that Psalm 8 sincere worship to a Lord, to a God who is majestic in all the earth and who is mindful of us and cares for us, and that we would see that the strength of our lives is to cry out to Him in prayer and praise, and to do that with a whole and sincere heart, and to be unashamed and bold about it, whatever that looks like for us, to be unashamed and bold in our expression of thanksgiving and our expression of prayers to God. So, Father, I pray, let it be for Agape, and let it be for any church represented by those who are listening to this podcast. Thank you, Father, that you are mindful of us. Thank you, God, that you care for us. Thank you, Father, that your glory is throughout the earth. Thank you that you call us into a relationship with your Son. Thank you, God, that you look for us to be dependent upon you. We do not bother you. We do not trouble you with our prayers. God, you want us to depend upon you. That is the strength of our lives. Let us be strong people, God, who are unashamed as we pray to you, unashamed as we praise you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you for being on the podcast today, and join us for the next episode. Until then, grace and peace to your family.
Thank you for listening to the Building Up Podcast, a ministry of Agape Church in Pinson, Alabama. If you have a question about today's podcast or would like to suggest a topic for the future, please email us, buildingup@agapepinson.com. To subscribe to this podcast, simply search for Building Up from Agape Church in your favorite podcast app. So fierce, he looked straight into me and said, "Son, I'm giving you victory. I can hear the sound."